Whiskey Congress is back in session. A little bit of a different show because I'm not in Cleveland. Steve is. So I am. I'm in New York City. I am drinking Two Stars Kentucky Straight Bourbon. It's an 86 proof straight bourbon whiskey out of Kentucky. And it's pretty good. I wouldn't say it's a rock star. I'm not going to make an effort to bring a bottle back for us to do together live. By the way, happy birthday from the other day. And you do have a birthday gift that involves whiskey coming to you. Nice. But this is good, but nothing spectacular. So the two stars apparently is inspired by the flag of Kentucky. And it's, I'm going to give it an 87. Solid stuff. Not like $3 a bottle. Good. Whatever. What are you drinking, sir?
Well, I mean, since this is my birthday weekend, my birthday was on Friday. It's now Sunday. I cracked open my old Rip Van Winkle, which is out of the Pappy Van Winkle line. Yeah. So, you know, I figure I don't have many good reasons to open that bottle. So I figure my birthday, major accomplishments by my kid, those are reasons why I can open that bottle. So I did tonight, and it's very good. It gets all the points.
Wow.
All the points. No, I mean, it's Pappy Van Winkle, they just do things a little bit different. You know, it's a wheat bourbon, and it's just, you know, full of flavor. The aroma, the scent off the nose, the taste on the tongue, all of it is just well-balanced and very good, which is why it's so popular. And people pay a shit ton of money for it.
Right. I mean,
so,
as cheap as it is to drink in the bars we drink in Cleveland, we've gone to bars where they wanted $30 a drink for Pappy. I was in a restaurant bar in Manhattan the other day, and they had an Orphan Barrel. I sent you a picture of it. That was $31 a drink. And I'm like, that's a good deal.
If it's a solid pour,
it's a good deal.
You know, what's crazy is, you know, it's just stupid. I mean, we do it because we enjoy whiskey. But at the end of the day, like for a lot of these whiskeys, it's really a bad idea to pay for them by the shot at a bar.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that Orphan Barrel, I mean, it's $30 a shot. I mean, that exact picture you sent me is the exact bottle I have on my shelf.
I know.
You know, that I paid a couple hundred dollars for, which is still really expensive. But at the same time, I wish that I could, you know, sell it off for $30 a shot.
Sure.
You know,
$500.
I mean, I would make a ton of money off of it. So, I mean, it's a bad idea to, you know, figure out what your favorite really expensive whiskey is by going to a bar and tasting it by the shot, because they're just going to overpay.
Completely agreed. I was in Manhattan and doing Manhattan stuff.
Fancy pants.
I was
doing Manhattan things.
Yes, I was. I had the Empire State of Mind. Would you like me to reconstruct? Never mind.
Were you just playing that on repeat on your phone as you walked through the city?
I was not, but it was kind of rattling through my head. It was rattling through my head a bit, though.
Jim's own personal theme music.
It was part of my theme song. I got to tell you one funny story about my time there, though. So I'm walking down the street, and there's a store called Weed World, and it was clear what they were promoting and selling, and I walked in. And this place is just, I sent you a picture, I think. Did I?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I received a number of pictures from you
I knew I said the whiskey. Yes. I didn't know if I said the Weed World thing. Anyway, I walk into Weed World and I'm like, so is weed legal in New York City? Like, is it different than the rest of the state? And they said, no, it's decriminalized. I'm like, okay, so what are you selling? And they're like, well, you know, it has some THC in it. I'm like, okay, you're selling CBD. I'm like, and he said, yeah. I'm like, all right, cool. So I looked at some stuff, and I was curious about it because it had a lot of, you know, do not let children consume warnings. I'm like, I've never seen that on CBD, but it probably is or should be. I walked out the door and literally empty-handed walked out the door, and these two young kids come up to me. You want THC? I got this, I got this, I got this, I got this. And they're like trying to pitch me THC on 7th Avenue in Manhattan in broad daylight. And I'm looking over my shoulders like, is this a sting? It was just so weird. But they were pulling product out of backpacks, trying to hawk it to me. Like, it was hilarious. I did not purchase anything. I kind of thought about going back and trying again, but it was just the strangest thing.
Oh, how times have changed.
Oh, how times have changed. I mean, these kids were just like slinging it on the street and not trying to.
I mean, how old do you think they were? 18, 19?
Yeah, I would say low to mid 20s, two black kids.
Well, they got to be black, yeah.
Well, they were. What's that?
I said, why they got to be black?
They didn't have to be, but they were. But I actually thought that was all the more, indicative was the fact that they weren't at all afraid of approaching a bald, you know, 40-something white dude and just say, hey, we're going to sell you THC right here on the street and no one's going to give a fuck.
Well, not even that. Like, it's not even, yes, approaching you or the lack of fear of approaching you, but the idea that they're completely complete disregard for the fact that they're not worried at all about a cop coming up on them,
right,
and saying, you know, hey, what are
and,
you doing?
And Steve, there were cop cars up and down that street all fucking day. So I was, like I said, it was so brazen on their part. I'm thinking, like, literally, am I a part of a sting? But if that was what it was going to be,
I wasn't. I mean, like, and part of it, too, is just the idea that the focus, the shift for the police, or the focus for the police has shifted, right? I mean, we've talked to, you know, people who know policing, and we've talked to former police officers who say, you know, one of the biggest driver for crime statistics is that the police ultimately dictate who they go after, right?
Right.
So New York will tell you their crime is down and, you know, it's never been as low as it's been right now, which that's true. But a big part of that is they've stopped really kind of going after those two kids who came up and approached you, right?
Right.
I mean, like, there's a time, I mean, like, if you roll the clock back 15 years, then the police not only would have went after those kids, they would have beat them with a baton and dragged them into jail over pot. And now the police just don't give a fuck, right? Like, so that's one of the biggest things that shifted, you know, the crime numbers. You know, like, people from New York will shove that shit in your face all day that the crime numbers are down. And yes, they are down, but the police just aren't going after the same things that they were years ago.
Right, but also violent crime is also down.
Yes, and violent crime is also down. Yes, you're absolutely right. But a lot of it has to do with who the police are going after, what crimes that they're pursuing, and then who the prosecutors are charging and everything else. Yeah, I mean,
agreed.
But it was
comical to me how I walked out the door with nothing in my hands, and these kids were like, "You want THC? I got this. I got flower. I got this." I'm like, "Wow!" It was awesome and hilarious to me. This is my New York story. Sorry about that. You want to talk politics for a bit?
Sure.
So this week was a weird one for me. I didn't really see. I saw a lot of headlines. I didn't really, you know, get to dig into a lot. But there was a big deal about Trump and Hurricane Dorian in Alabama. And I heard a bunch of weird shit or read a bunch of weird shit like Trump heard Bahamas and translated that to Alabama. I don't think that's accurate. But then you texted me some stuff. So can I throw this into your arena and let you handle it?
Yeah. The thing about Trump confusing the Bahamas in Alabama is bullshit. You know, like, that was something that was thrown out there by, you know, whatever sketchy news source. That's not accurate. But Trump's obsession with not being wrong and the media not giving him kudos and the media criticizing him was on full display with this whole hurricane thing. And I apologize. I'm at home. I'm cooking my chicken and meals for the week, so I apologize if I'm a little bit distracted, or if it's a little noisy on my part.
No worries. It's not too bad.
But all that being said, so Trump, early, like, you know, late last week, you know, like, they give the report about the hurricane, and they say it's going to hit Florida and Georgia, and Trump, you know, throws in, oh, and Alabama. And everyone's like, okay, I guess, yeah, maybe. And then, you know, a couple days later, we look at the model, and clearly the hurricane's not going to hit Alabama. So the media kind of jumps all over him, and they're like, you know, Trump throws in Alabama, and it's all political because of his base. And they weren't necessarily wrong. I mean, that's why Trump did it, because Alabama is a strong state for him. And so if there was any chance at all that that state was going to have anything to do with the hurricane, knowing that it's a strong state for him, then politically it makes sense for him to make sure that they're covered, you know, with his, hey, we're looking out for you. The hurricane turns, it ends up being nowhere near Alabama. We knew that early on, you know, shortly after he said that, and people jumped all over him. And I think part of this is on the media, because at the time, you didn't know where the hurricane was going to go. And there was an outside chance that the outside rim of the hurricane might have touched Alabama, right? So it's one of those things, if you're playing the game of semantics, if you're playing the idea of just based off of the information and the data he had at the time, he wasn't necessarily wrong. But it shifted. Alabama got absolutely nothing from this hurricane. And so everyone kind of jumped all over him in the fact that he brought Alabama into it. Now, instead of him taking the high road, he digs in to the point where he's got to prove everybody wrong that Alabama was in the path of the hurricane. At some point, he goes as far as to alter an actual, you know, map, you know, an official government map of what the hurricane was supposed to do. He used a Sharpie marker to kind of draw Alabama into the mix, you know, just to show that he's not wrong. And then he's been tweeting about it nonstop for the last week. I mean, to the point where he had the NOACC, whatever the hell that stands for, the National
Oceanographic and Atmospheric, guess, something.
The National Weather Service comes out and says, well, technically, President Trump wasn't wrong because XYZ, right? And then other Weather Service people have come out and said, yeah, he was wrong. Like, that was a thought maybe early on, but there was enough data by the time he said what he said to know that it wasn't accurate. But Trump has really kind of dug his heels in on this. And it's frustrating because, listen, you're the president of the United States. You have way bigger fish to fry than whether you were right or wrong about this hurricane possibly hitting Alabama. You know, I mean, the main focus is where the hurricane actually hits in the country, how devastating it is, and getting aid to those places. Yes, the media, shame on them for constantly trying to make him look bad.
Right,
but
catch him on his fuck-ups, right?
Right, like, I mean, the media is constantly in this mode of gotcha, but he is constantly in a mode of defense, literally to the detriment of his position, right? And that's one of the biggest issues, is that he can't let it go. He can't be the bigger person. He has to make sure that you know that at some point in time, he was right. And the fucked up thing is that his supporters are going to back him on this through and through, right? Like, they're just, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, his supporters are his supporters. They are going to back him no matter what, even if it's to their detriment. I mean, they've already proved it. I mean, there are people out there who'll say, well, if he harms them individually, specifically, they won't support him. And I think that's bullshit. I think they're so blinded by their hate for the other side,
right, or
that,
yeah,
that they will defend him no matter what, white, right, wrong, or other.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a few friends in the last week or two where it was like, okay, no matter what this dude does, you're in his, and then they'll tell me I'm biased. I'm like, okay, awesome.
At this point, yeah, you and I are biased. We don't like him. We're not a fan just of his delivery. We're not a fan of his rhetoric.
Well, I've been honest that I've not liked this guy since I was 16. But
that's fair. I mean, and neither have I, right? Like, I mean, I thought his show, The Apprentice, was stupid. I thought he was a joke. I thought him running for president was a publicity stunt. I mean, we said as much on our old show. But then all of a sudden he catches fire because our electorate is literally illiterate at this point. But he was elected. He is the president of the United States. So we have to deal with it, you know. And I think really with Trump, it comes down to you have to try to be objective. And if I can be objective with him, I can give him credit where credit is due. If he does something that I believe is right and effective, I'll give him credit for those things. But at the same time, if he does something wrong, if he does something stupid or says something stupid, then I reserve the right to criticize him or make fun of him or whatever, right? He puts himself out there as a public figure, so I'm going to judge him based off of what he puts out to the public. And the people who defend him will attack, you know, a person like myself or you because he does dumb shit, like draws, uses a Sharpie marker.
Which, by the way, technically, apparently that's illegal. I don't give a fuck. I'm not going
to
make
Yeah. I mean, and again, I'm not calling for him to be impeached because he drew on a Sharpie marker. I'm just saying, how ridiculous is it?
It's, you know, absolutely crazy.
Just like, what the fuck? I mean, are you serious? Like, what? This dude's ego is so fragile that he's literally drawing using a Sharpie marker to, like, hey, make sure that they know that this is in. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah, I mean, if he was anyone else, if he wasn't the president of the United States, the people who support him would think that he was an absolute and utter complete fucking joke.
But
he is the president of the United States, so I believe that there is a certain level of respect and deference that should go to him and the office. But at the same time, this dude is he's a fucking whack job, right? And you got to call a spade a spade.
I agree. I agree.
It's the people who support him that refuse to criticize him under any circumstance that I have the biggest problem with. But I also have a problem with the people who can't acknowledge when he does something right, which now it seems like that is becoming few and far between. But nonetheless, he has done him and his administration, they have done a thing or two that have been effective and seem like the right move. And the people who can't give him credit for those things, I really have an issue with. And the people who go out and make up things about his administration or him or what he's done, I also have a problem with that too.
I agree. I mean, that is a big problem when you lose your objective assessment of things and just, you know, Trump bad or Obama bad. You can't lose credibility.
Or Obama good at all costs, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you and I have both been critical of Obama at times. I mean, I was a fan. I am a fan. I mean, I was a huge Bill Clinton fan. I've acknowledged that, you know, I saw things one way in, you know, the 1990s. I look back, I'm like, felt good at the time.
You know what? And that, you know, Jim, that right there, that's something we're talking about. The idea that we live in a time right now where you can't evolve on your opinion. You can't change your mind. You can't look at things different today than you did, you know, whatever in the
20
past.
Years ago is what I'm talking about, but yeah.
Right. I mean, 20 years ago then, or even a week ago, right? I mean, people, like you say, like, you look at something, and you say, I don't like this. And you go back and say, you know what? I said I didn't like it, but actually the more I look at it, I do like it. And for some reason, people feel that that somehow makes you weak. And they want to attack you on the idea, well, you changed your mind. You know, look, there's a line in the sand, and you're either with us or against us. And that particular attitude, that may be the thing that bothers me the most about our current kind of political discourse.
All right.
Right? The idea that you draw a line in the sand, you're on one side or the other, and if you switch anything about it, then you're weak and you should be canceled and boycotted and whatever. You know, I mean, it's just, it's a really, really sad state of affairs, in my opinion.
No, I think you're right. I mean, we've talked about this, you know, sitting in a bar together where, you know, Obama on gay marriage, right? He was against it when it was politically the right thing to be. And then he flipped on that. And he said he evolved, and people said, well, you evolved, therefore, like you said, you're weak. You know, maybe he was never as against it as he actually is. Or was I don't know if I said that right, but, you know, whatever. I said that badly. Right. But the point being, and to your point, you know, changing an opinion, evolving an opinion, is actually a sign of strength and inner reflection, in my opinion. But you're right. It often in the political realm gets interpreted as a weakness, and that's a flaw in our perception, because if you tell people you were this way and then you're that way, you are politically eliminated. That drives things in a way that does not help us evolve as a culture and as a community.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just, I feel like we're really missing the mark on so many different levels for that exact reason. And especially right now, and really it's more so I feel like, yeah, it's there on the political right. If anyone has any sort of wavering thought on abortion from the conservative side, then they're going to get killed, politically speaking, by the political right, the GOP, and everything else. But on the left, I mean, there's so many different issues that you just have, you have to be for, you have to support transsexuals in every way, shape,
Or
or form.
you have to support being pro-choice, and
Right, no, you can't support being pro-choice. You have to be, well, yes, you
you have
have
to be
to be
pro-choice.
fully pro-choice, unwavering, no questions asked, no limitations, just that. You have to support the idea that climate change is being caused by, fossil fuels and everything else. You have to fully support the idea of being vegan and all this other shit. And there's a certain level of hyperbole there, but all these things, they're these absolute things that, and if you don't support one of them, or if you question, even if you question them, then they literally want to throw you under the bus and say, you're not one of us, and get out. And
Yeah.
that's one of the issues. That's a big issue that the left has to deal with. You can't sit there and talk about tolerance and be completely intolerant of anything that you disagree with. That's the one thing that they're going to have to figure out,
I
period.
completely agree, but now you brought up climate change, and CNN had multiple town halls with Democratic
Dude, it was
candidates.
7 fucking hours. It was one night. It was 7 hours over one fucking night. Who the fuck thought that was a good idea?
How much did you watch?
Of the 7 hours, I watched 20 minutes.
That's 20 minutes more than I did, and climate change is one of my most passionate issues.
Yeah, I mean,
I
I
wanted
watched
nothing to
some
do with
of
that shit.
Elizabeth Warren. I watched some of Kamala Harris. Both made me want to rip my face off. It was Jim, it was brutal to watch. Part of it is the fact that me with climate change, look, some shit's going on, clearly. I don't think we know why it's happening, but it's happening. And so we should probably do some things to try to reverse it or slow it down if we can. It's worth giving it a try, but I can't tell you why the fuck this is going on. And I don't believe, given the age of the Earth, and space and science is fucking
Well,
weird. I don't know if
the Earth is
anybody
six
knows the
thousand
answer.
years old, so
Right. Wait, what?
I'm jokingly
Oh.
saying the
Oh.
shit that evangelicals say.
Yeah, I mean,
Sorry, man.
I mean, and that's just where I come out on it, I mean, I just think that there's a lot of variables out there that we don't know, we can't account for. So, and it's not something that, and I got to be honest, it's not something that overly interests me, so I don't dig into it.
Let's see, for your birthday, you can either have a bottle of Stag Junior bourbon or me not be an asshole for 10 minutes. Your choice. That's a tough
Really like Stag Junior. It's so good. Can I deal with it though?
10 minutes.
Eesh.
10 minutes of me not being a douchebag. That'll earn.
Eesh.
That's a pretty grand bargain. All right. But anyway, yeah, I get your point, though. There is a lot that is unknown. There is a lot that is known, and the whole fight about, like, everything's fine, there's nothing to see here, drives me fucking crazy. And to me, there's a lot of shit that we should do, whether or not it is the one and only driver of this issue. We know that pumping more carbon dioxide into the air isn't helping. Is it the one and only cause? No. Pumping more methane into the air through beef and whatever. Is that the only cause? No. But can we do good by not doing that? I think we can. But the fact that CNN chose to put on a 7-hour spectacle of town halls with Democratic candidates just spitting out the same shit, who the fuck thought that was a good idea? And whoever did should be fired because no one watched it. I didn't watch it. This is an issue I'm passionate about, and I gave zero fucks about
Yeah,
watching them talk about it.
the ratings were brutal. I mean, anything for 7 hours, other than, coverage of the death of a major
I'm
public figure.
terrified we're gonna go with this.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, I mean, you know, if Bill Clinton died, then yeah, okay, you want to cover that for 7 hours.
I mean, Michael Jackson's death was like the only thing on TV for hours and hours and hours, which, by the way, yeah. I publicly criticized. You know, I thought it, you know, it's important. It's important in the entertainment world, but CNN and Fox should not be covering it nonstop. And then when Fox started covering the fact that they think it shouldn't be covered, well, you're covering it. That was bad. But
right, your anti-coverage is still coverage.
It's still coverage, right? But the fact that climate change got zero interest from most of the mass media, including the network that chose to cover it, says a lot. It bothers me.
Well, you know what? I mean, here's the deal. I think the DNC, the left, the progressives, whatever you want to call them, their plan is, all right, we're going to go hard left, super hard left.
Yes.
We're not worried about people in the middle. We're not trying to pull people from Trump. Our whole thing is we're going to go get people on the furthest end of the left spectrum. And we're going to try to pull in people who didn't vote last election cycle, last presidential election cycle, because we weren't left enough, right? Like, so the people who didn't vote because they were pissed that Bernie didn't get the nomination, like, they want those people, and they want to make sure that whoever gets the nomination, if it's not Bernie, that his voters still vote. So as a group, they decided that it's all about going hard left. It's about telling people, you know, they can't eat as much meat as they want, and we're going to take your guns, and we're going to limit emissions and climate change and, equality, and they're really going to push the LGBT and the whole thing with all that stuff is going to get pushed heavily by Democratic candidates. Immigration reform in the form of not doing anything, all that stuff is going to get pushed, and that's the direction that they're going. And this was another prime example of it, right? Like, they literally shoved 7 hours of just useless TV down people's throats. And I can't say they shoved it down people's throats because nobody watched.
Right.
You know, but I mean, like, they
threw it past their ears, so they did.
Right. I mean, they tried and they really pushed it, but I mean, like, nobody bit. And it really pushes me back to when we talked to Dr. Wilmer Leon, and one of the last things he said to us, and we talked to him, I don't know, probably about 2 years ago or 18 months ago.
Yeah, around there.
But one of the things he said was, I at the time I said, you know what? I mean, I was a big proponent of try to get the people in the middle, and he disagreed and he said, no, we need to go further left. If you want to beat this guy, you got to go further left and pull in more people who didn't vote because they didn't feel that Hillary spoke for them. And I don't know if he's right, and I can't tell you that I was wrong, but what I can tell you is that the every Democratic candidate, other than Joe Biden, but even Biden to a degree, they're all pushing further left. They're all trying to push to that extreme left because that's their game plan. It's tell everybody that Donald Trump is a racist and is a fascist and all these other things, and then push as far left as you can with policy and legislation and really try to recruit people who you believe aren't voting because you're not progressive enough.
You know, Steve, I think a lot of that is driven by the fact that most people would say that Bernie against Trump would have won, and Bernie is so far left of Hillary. But I don't want to put, you know, my words into your perspective, but I think you're saying that's a flawed thinking. I'm going to say that's a flawed thinking.
Well, Jim, I don't know if it's a flaw, right? I mean, okay. I can't. We don't have enough data to tell us if it's flawed, right? We saw how things went in 2016, and trying to appeal to the middle didn't work. and maybe it was because Hillary was a flawed candidate.
She's really easy to dislike.
You know, I mean, it didn't work with her. And I know that Joe Biden is leading in all the polls and has been. And according to the polls, he's the guy that could beat Trump. But you know where I feel, you know where I come out when it comes to polls.
Right.
Like, I feel like they're a wolf in sheep's clothing, in sheep's clothing, you know, surrounded by other wolves, because I just feel that they're completely and woefully inaccurate. And
you said woefully, really... but it sounded like woefully.
Yeah. Yes. but I mean, like, they don't give you a clear picture or an accurate picture. And so, yes, the polls are saying Biden is the guy and he's the guy in the middle. But I feel like all that's going to change once the Democratic field gets narrowed. And chances are it's going to be the candidate who, whoever is the furthest left.
Ends up being, you think so?
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good thing for the Democratic Party?
No, I don't. Because, I mean, honestly, I don't like a lot of these policies, right? I don't like a lot of the stuff that they're throwing out there.
I like some of them.
Right?
What's that?
Right? I mean, like, I mean, they're sitting there and they're telling me, like, well, like, I'm a meat eater. I like meat. I don't hide it. And they're like, well, you should only be able to eat so much meat. Well, I'm a fucking 300-pound man. Like, so I need more meat than the average person. I'm not going to get my protein from fucking beans, so fuck off.
Steve, if I showed you the picture of the size of the veal parmesan I ate here the other day, you would have been amazed. You wouldn't have been mad. A lot of people would have been mad at me, and they should be. I ate a piece of veal that was disgustingly large. They put it in front
of me. Remember that? You remember that one I got? I got it red.
I do, and I remember you sending that picture. And in terms of surface area, I think this was bigger. In terms of actual quantity, yours was. But Steve, they put this in front of me, and I'm like laughing at them, like, you're kidding me. And I started mowing through this, and they were. Just doing their thing, and when I was done, there was almost nothing left, and I was like, and there's a reveal. And then yesterday, I went to that place that had the phenomenal whiskey selection, and I ordered their prime rib, and I was happy, because they said, do you want the king cut? And I said, well, if you had a smaller one, I'd be happy. And they offered me the English cut, and the king cut was 28 ounces. Could you eat 28 ounces of prime rib?
I mean, I probably could, but I probably couldn't eat anything else, and it would be
for a
very
week.
Limited
You'd
amount
like
of water.
Feel like an anaconda that ate a fucking cow. 28 ounces. Fuck's sake. But I saw one go by me, and it looked delicious. All right, brother, you got a game to watch in a few minutes. I want to talk some football.
Well, you kind of killed my point. I was trying to make a point here. So your adventures in New York are moderately entertaining, but... my point was, like, the Democrats have an issue, and they sound very authoritarian. They sound very controlling. I mean, you've got people literally saying they want to limit the amount of meat you can eat. They want to take the gun that you have if they don't like the type of gun that you have, by force, by saying
that's
we're going to do
right?
a gun. You know, we're going to do a government buyback of these type of guns, but you have to do this buyback. And if you don't, then you will be, you know, guilty of, you know, a federal crime. And, you know, like that, none of that to me sounds American or good. And they're saying they're doing it for, you know, our own good, but I don't buy it. Right. Like, I don't buy it. Like, it's just got a bad vibe. And that's a majority of your Democratic candidates, your leading candidates, other than Joe Biden. But I don't believe that Joe Biden is actually a person who can win this nomination. I don't feel like, one, he just presents so bad, right? Like, I mean, he's got all these flubs. He busted an eye vessel. He tells these bullshit stories. You know, like, I've met him in person. He's a dunce in person, literally. Like, Joe Biden is not, like, you meet him in person, he does not impress you at all.
Well, what he did in, like, Youngstown, we've talked about, and it was fucking hilarious.
I mean, like, the guy just does not come across as a person, like, I don't want him running the country. I don't want him, to be the difference between me living and dying if we're being, assaulted by another country with nuclear weapons. I didn't like him as Obama's vice presidential pick, right? Like
I loved him, but okay.
I hated it. I thought it was a terrible pick. Like, I mean, back to, I thought it was a really bad pick, and a lot of people were like, oh, what's wrong with Joe Biden? He's great. I'm like, what's great about him? There's nothing great about this guy. This guy's been a dick for 30 fucking years, and now Obama wants him as his running mate? Like, what the fuck is going on?
We're in different camps there, because I thought he was a great pick.
History backs me up in the fact
that they got two terms.
They got two terms, but it wasn't because of Joe Biden. Obama didn't win the election because of Joe Biden, and they didn't get a second election because of Joe Biden. Come on now.
All right, fine, but I like the pick. I thought Biden was like the
You're in the majority. You're in the majority.
I am.
Right? Obviously, you guys. Okay,
and I hate being in the majority. You know that.
You guys win. Congratulations, but. I mean, I think we're all lucky that nothing fucking happened to Obama and Biden wasn't the one in the driver's seat. And I don't feel comfortable with putting that guy in the driver's seat now.
I am not going to fight you on that.
I don't like him now as a presidential candidate. And I actually don't think that anyone else does. And we'll see how these polls shake out once you really thin the herd.
I will not argue with any of what you just said.
But because... we won't get there. Think about it. The first caucus or primary isn't until after the football season that just started Thursday, and tonight.
Ends, like, right? True.
Ends and is in the playoffs. Like, we won't even, Like, so we got a long way to go. So it'll be interesting to see how things shake out between now and then.
So you want to talk some football?
I do.
What do you want to talk about? Antonio Brown has maybe been the most entertaining spectacle in football in my lifetime. I mean, this dude is fucking amazing.
He makes Terrell.
You've been a huge fan.
Well,
at one point you were a huge fan.
I was a huge fan of Antonio Brown for a while. I had my concerns with him. With the Steelers organization a few years ago, and a lot of people did, but he was still putting up numbers. And with professional sports and with football, at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's about being productive and producing on the field, and he did that.
No arguing that. Arguing that would be ridiculous.
You can. Yes. I mean, for the last seven seasons, Antonio Brown has been the best receiver in the league of all time. With the number of yards and the number of receptions and the yards per catch and all that shit. Like, he just has been, one of the most consistent forces in the NFL for the last 6-7 years. Last year, he pushed things over the edge with the Steelers organization, and they traded him for a 3rd and 5th round pick, and everybody killed the Steelers, saying, you should have got more for him. And, the Raiders pulled one over on you, and lo and behold, guess what? the Steelers get a 3rd and 5th round pick, and the Raiders traded a 3rd and 5th round pick for a dude who was an asshole the entire offseason and didn't play it down for them in preseason or the regular season because they released him on Saturday.
After he requested them to release him.
They voided his guarantees.
Right.
At which point in time he said he wasn't going to play for them. He asked for a release via Instagram. They granted it. But then the Patriots come in and give him a 1-year deal and $15 million to play for them, which kind of shame on the Patriots. Like, you know what? I mean, like, you're rewarding this guy for being a piece of shit, yet you will sit there and talk about the Patriot way and character and team over individual, and yet you go out and you sign a guy who was the most selfish, obnoxious guy in the NFL for the last 18 months for $15 million. So, dear Patriots fan, fuck all the way off. you want to talk to me about character. But this could work out for them. If he pulls a Randy Moss and becomes a model citizen character player, you know, over the course of the year because he's with the Patriots and he knows that he doesn't have any other chances, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Or he could be himself and, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks into the season when Tom Brady is being Tom Brady and throwing to the first guy open, which may not be Antonio Brown all the time. And Tom Brady's not going to try to force the ball to Antonio Brown. And when he starts to melt down on the sideline, then they could boot him. Right, like it's only going to go one. There's no in between. It's either going to work out fabulously, like it did with Randy Moss in the Patriots, or it's going to be a complete implosion. At which point in time, the Patriots will get rid of this guy before the season is over, and that will basically be the end of his career.
You know, see, I'm curious about this too. I mean, you know, so you're a Steelers fan. I'm a Bills fan. The Bills tried to trade for Antonio Brown,
and he basically told
Buffalo to
that.
Fuck off. What's that?
He said, nah, fuck that.
Yeah, he basically made it clear that if you trade me to them, I will blow that trade up. And in Buffalo, Antonio Brown is persona non grata. I mean, they hate the guy. And what's gone on in the last 6 weeks has backed up that mentality. Then he ends up in New England, which pisses off two franchises more than any other, Buffalo and New England. Maybe the Jets too, but whatever.
Well, Buffalo, New England, and I mean Pittsburgh as well. I mean,
Pittsburgh. You know, like, listen, I mean Pittsburgh and New England
are playing New England tonight, like right now. I mean Pittsburgh has to deal with them, and Pittsburgh. I mean New England is the reason why, you know, Pittsburgh doesn't have more Super Bowls than they do, right? I mean because Tom Brady has been so good for so long, like Pittsburgh has been stonewalled by them for years.
Yes.
And so, you know, the idea of Antonio Brown going to them, who, you know, New England is a legit rival at Pittsburgh as well.
Right. I mean, they're rivals for the championship, whereas Buffalo is just the team that New England has been stomping on.
Yes.
I'm not denying that.
You know, I mean, like, there's legit beef there from a Steelers perspective. But at the same time, I think the Steelers are just like, look, AB is going to AB. One, we don't have to play him because he's not going to be able to dress up tonight because all this stuff went down yesterday. So, you know, somebody was asking me if he was going to play tonight. I'm like, I'm not even sure Antonio Brown can get a flight from Oakland to New England in time to play this game. So, you know, I mean, like, and he's got to go through a physical. The contract has to be vetted.
You're right.
All that sort of stuff. I don't even think his actual contract with the Patriots actually goes through until Tuesday, you know, based off league rules. So he's definitely not playing tonight. So I think the Steelers, from their perspective, are fuck that dude. We're worried about the guys, you know, the 53 in the locker room right now with us. And they're on a mission to kind of baptize themselves from the negativity that Antonio Brown brought last season.
So,
you know, and Le'Veon Bell and everything else.
So we were talking about Le'Veon Bell, but I'm not in Cleveland right now. You are. The Browns lost today. You were there. How's that going down?
Well, it's not going well. This city... You got
look,
a lot.
We like, both listen, love Cleveland as a city. Let's both say that.
No,
we love the city.
I love the city. One of my best friends has worked for the Browns for a long time. I've always tried to be, as respectable as I could to the organization. I thought Art Modell moving the Browns to Baltimore was one of the more egregious actions that's ever happened in professional sports. You know, other than, you know, the Baltimore Colts being moved to Indianapolis in the, you know, in the shades of the night. So, you know, I've always had a special place for Cleveland and the Browns in my heart. But the last month, the Browns fans have been fucking insufferable. Jim, listen, there were people who I heard having a conversation. A guy and his wife, you know, talking about planning their vacation. She says, what about February? He says, well, it's got to be late February. Browns could go to the Super Bowl. And then if they have a parade, I want to be here for it. I'm like, you haven't made the playoffs in 20 fucking years? and all of a sudden now you're planning your vacation around going to the Super Bowl? Have you lost your fucking mind? But they were dead fucking serious, right? I mean, I got people, like, people at my gym. I mean, like, people have bet me some of the most ridiculous bets of all time that I have to take. I mean, like, people literally betting me the Browns are going to go 14-2. Right? I mean, like, I've got a bet at the gym with one of the guys that I work out with who says the Browns will go 14-2, and if they don't, I will buy you dinner at your restaurant of choice.
Oh.
I'm like, are you fucking insane? Like, I almost didn't make it.
That's a $200 commitment right there.
Right. And, like, you know where I'm going. You know where
you're
going.
You're going to Red or Marble Room?
We're going to Red. We're going to Red.
Best steakhouse
Dave
in Cleveland.
Dave and Philly knows the damage on that.
Was that?
I said Dave and Philly knows the damage on Red.
Yeah, he does. He does. He had to pick that up.
You know, I mean, I got another bet. I got another bet with a guy, which is a more reasonable bet, that the Browns – well, it's not reasonable. He says the Browns will sweep the Steelers this year.
Ooh.
And so if the Browns sweep the Steelers, I have to take him to dinner in Cleveland wearing Cleveland Browns gear.
Ooh.
But vice versa, if the Steelers win one game, right, out of the two, he's got to take me to dinner in Pittsburgh wearing Steeler gear. Videos,
that's a bad move because there are some good steakhouses in Pittsburgh. I've been to one.
In both, right,
in,
right,
in
right.
Both,
I mean,
both,
like,
absolutely, in both.
But this is the sort of thing that people are throwing out there, and I'm like, are you people insane? Like, I mean, guys, part of it is really hard to win in the NFL, right? The league is designed for all the teams to go 8-8, right? Like, that's called
right.
parity,
You're
and
right.
that's what the league is designed for, and. You know, bouncing the ball will get you to 9 or 10 wins. Anything over that, you got to be really, really good. And then if you want to win a game in the playoffs, you also have to be really, really good. You need to be good and you need luck. So the idea that these people are going to go out there and bet the shit that they're betting and they're going to adjust their vacations based off of the fact that they think that the Browns are going to the Super Bowl after being 7-8-1 last year is fucking insane. So, yes, I am taking all these bets. And the more obnoxious that the Browns fans get, the more annoyed I get with the entire situation, and the more joy I get out of days like today, where they get completely fucking whitewashed by the Tennessee Titans, 43-13, and the entire city melts down, and I'm just walking down the street like they're lucky that I'm fucking wearing clothes right now, and I'm not walking around in a robe with my dick out. Like, fuck you. I don't even care if the Steelers do. Fuck you, bums. Suck my dry dick.
Okay. All right. No, I'm sitting down here in Long Island. I was in Manhattan for the part of the start of the game. The Bills were getting steamrolled. They ended up coming back and winning in dramatic fashion that I had to
yes.
only get from a friend of mine over the phone. It was awesome for me. And I'm in Jets country. Like, the bar I had my dinner at was a Jets bar that was fucking vacant when I got there. It was hilarious to me. Brother, let's shut this down. Let me say again, happy birthday. It's been fun talking to you. The NFL season is back in the, you know.
Yes, the NFL season is back upon us, which will bring joy, stress, happiness, anger, rage, all of those things, but it's a good time.
And as well, the Buffalo Bills lead the NFL.
Also, I'm just giving you a heads up. Listen. I need to go back to your place. I need to clean up the mess that I left the other night.
What did you do? What did you do?
We'll talk about it later.
All right. I love you, Steven. And all right, I'm man. Really curious and possibly furious. Love you, brother. We're out. Good night. What did you do? All right, hold on. I'm having trouble fighting the fucking...
Stop.
Stop.
Did you figure it out?
No, I haven't. I'm publishing all this bullshit. What the fuck? All right. I'm going to put the microphone down.
No, it's nothing. I mean, I, it's...